Matthew chapter 4. Amen. I pray God will help us. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I pray God will touch your heart while we come to the house of God. We'll start reading this morning in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew in verse number 18. When you find your place, you can stand. And we're going to read verse 18, 19, and 20. And then you'll be seated. I'll pray. We'll bring you the message. I pray God will help us today to declare what He wants us to hear. God has a message for us. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And I pray you listen as God speaks. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." These are not only just brethren in the Lord, they were brothers in the flesh. Verse 19, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I want to pull out a word out of verse number 20, and I pray it'll help you. He said, "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." We're going to talk this morning about the word straightway. You can be seated if you will. Our Father, I pray this morning you'd bless and touch hearts and touch our minds, our souls. Lord, speak through us today. Anoint our minds and souls and lips, especially God, to speak as we wish we had. We stand in the day of judgment. I pray you'd make the Word of God plain and clear, that, Lord, we wouldn't have to wonder and scratch our heads. Lord, we go out today knowing what you said to us. May we answer the call of whatever you've given us, or, Lord, may we call upon you and get rid of anything that's a hindrance or anything that's not right. And first one in this building that's not saved, I pray you'd speak to their precious heart. May this be the day that they find sweet peace to their soul by giving their heart and life to you and birth them into the family. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thinking about Beulah Land and some sweet golden daybreak. Amen. Making me kind of want to be there this morning. But I realize that I'm living, as Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 said, in this present evil world. I'm looking forward to getting out of that. Amen. Now, there's two spirits in the Word of God. Each of them oppose each other. According to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 12, there's the spirit of the world. Amen. It works around. That's the unholy spirit, if you will. And then in that same verse, it talks about the spirit which is of God. That's the Holy Spirit. These two are fighting. Amen. There's always a warfare in this world. 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says that there's the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. And there's the spirit of error, which we're seeing so much of today. That's the unholy spirit. Now, these are two persons. I believe we deal with two specific persons. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a person. In Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible said, "And you hath He quickened." Who's He? The Holy Spirit of God. He hath quickened. That word quickened means made alive. In the next verse, verse number 2, it said that we walked one day according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now who's that? Satan. Amen. And so you think about that this morning, and I pray that God might help us. We've got a little word here I want to deal with in verse number 20 of the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew called Straightway. Now, that word straightway, have you ever looked it up to see what it was and what happened to these boys when the Lord come by? They are mending their nets, so they're busy, and they're busy about their business. They're tending their own business. Amen. Sometimes you tend your own business and God will get in your business. Amen. And that's what happened to Peter and Andrew here. They were mending their nets, going back out, fixing to go back to work. And then the Lord walked by and He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And the Bible said, "And they straightway." That means, write it down, means immediately. It means without hesitation. It means without question. Then ask the Lord any question. Sometimes kids will be told to do something and say, "Why?" Amen. My daddy used to say, "Because I said so, that's why." Amen. And brother, we go on. Well, that word means at once. They didn't wait. They didn't hesitate. It was right there on the spot. They made up their mind right then. And there, it was instantaneously that they got up and began to do, without even thinking about it, without even praying about it. Now, there's a few things you don't have to pray about. Somebody said, preacher, you want to pray about everything. There's a few things no need to pray about. Amen. Don't have to pray about doing right. Just do it. Amen. Don't have to pray about reading the Bible. Just read it. Don't have to pray about praying. Just pray. Amen. But they did it without even praying about it or thinking. They did it without even making any kind of excuses whatsoever. That word straightway just meant they go on without any consultation. They didn't ask Mama what they thought, what she thought. They didn't ask somebody around them what they thought. They just got up straightway. You know what it means? It just means they got up and got gone right there. Amen. No hesitation whatsoever. Now, beloved, I believe that's what we need to do in the Lord's work. Amen. Some of you have been trying to give God excuses for 20 years. Some of y'all have been arguing with the Lord for 15. Some of you have been asking God questions for the last 5. Amen. Some of you sitting there and you're wilting away and wrinkles are coming on. You can't even see out. Amen. Past the wrinkles and you still can't figure out when you're going to get started. God help us. They straightway didn't wait, didn't hesitate. Amen. Now you got to remember there's 3 enemies in this world that we're having to fight. 3 enemies. You said, I thought it was just 2. Let me give you 3 enemies. Number 1, write it down. Brother, there's the internal enemy. You've got an enemy on the inside of you that you have to fight with more than anybody else or anything else in this world. It's called the F-L-E-S-H, called flesh. You have to fight yourself more than anybody else. You said the devil maybe do. Most of the time it's the flesh. Amen. You just don't want to do it. Have no desire. So that's the internal enemy. Not only do you have an internal enemy, but you've got an external enemy. You said that's the devil. No, the external enemy is the world. Brother, you have to face the world and you try to dictate to what the world has to say. You get yourself in trouble, so you have to fight the flesh, you have to fight the world, and then you've got an infernal enemy, which is the devil himself that's always against you, fighting you tooth and toenail every day and every walk and every step that you take. Amen. You got to fight them enemies. The Bible calls them through the means of it is through the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And brother, you have to fight them battles all your days of your life. Amen and amen. Now, I want to talk about straightway, first of all, of salvation. Brother, I believe it today when the Lord Jesus speaks to your heart and tugs around your heartstrings and begins to tell you that you're lost and undone and God begins to reveal that to you at a young age, amen, or whatever age it is, I pray that you wouldn't hesitate, you wouldn't wait. It's dangerous to wait when God's speaking, and if God speaks to your heart today and makes you see that you're lost, straightway you ought to get saved. Right then. Not hesitate. Don't wait. Don't dilly-dally. Don't play around. Brother, you might lose your own soul. What's it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. It's important that you straightway listen to what God says to the Spirit of God. And when God speaks it there, you will listen to Him. Amen. Amen. It's important that you do that. And then we'll talk about some others. But first of all, there's a straight way of salvation. I want to deal with this in our churches. You know what? Oh, we've got everything messed up. The churches are filled with these and the world's filled with this. Let me give you this. There are professors. Now, when we talk about professors, I'm not talking about educators that come out of some theological school or some college. When I talk about professors, I'm talking about professors of religion, or professors of Christ, or professors of something. I'm talking about everybody professes something. Amen. Amen. You might not tell it, but your life will show it. Amen. It sure will. Now, there's professors. When we talk about professors, we're talking about the true professors, and we're talking about the false professors. Amen. I want to ask you this. Are your professions that you make in the day of yourself, are they real? Are they genuine? Can you stand up in church and say, praise God, preacher, I've been saved by the grace of God. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to my heart. My sins have been washed away. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus because the Lord moved in and the devil moved out. And I can stand up and profess the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And you can say that and know down deep on the inside that you're bound for heaven. And you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and your sins are gone. If you can say that, you are a true professor. If you know your sins are on the blood, amen, but you're saying, I hope that I'm saved. I hope that one day I'll make it to heaven. I'm hoping that one day God will accept me in. And the only way God accepts you in is through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's precious Son. Nothing else will do. Now, if you can stand up and say, well, preacher, I hope and maybe I am and I'm trusting that I am and I'm not real sure about it. Or, yes, I've been baptized. I joined the church and sure, I must be. Listen, that's false professions. Amen. Had a lady in the church one time, said about the third row back, and every time she'd get up and testify, she'd never get up and say, I've been born again and saved by the grace of God, but she'd always get up and here's her testimony every time. I remember when I was a little girl how they took me right down here to this little pond that was right below the church, and they baptized me into this church. That's what she bragged about every time. If that's all you've got to brag about this morning, you're lost and undone, you've got a false profession, and you're dying without God, and you're going to go to hell. Hey, listen to me this morning, I'm telling you the truth. Brother, you've got to have your profession right. And it must be through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only do we have professors, which are false or true, but then we have deceivers. We've got a lot of deceivers that are going through this world. And brother, we're talking about deceivers or false deceivers. What they're doing is causing people to get, involved in church. Just join the church. Just sign up in the choir. Hey, there's some people believe it. If you sing in the choir, you play an instrument, you witness, you pass out gospel tracts, you carry a Bible, you teach in a Sunday school class, you preach behind a pulpit, and you live a good, clean life, you tithe, you go regular to the house of God. Hey, I've got to be all right. Amen. These people that preach that, you know what they are? They're false deceivers. Amen. It's not that. You can sing in the choir, and I believe, brother, when you get saved by the grace of God, you want to sing in the choir if you didn't even carry a tune halfway in a bucket. Amen. I believe this morning when you get right with God, you want to tithe. I believe you want to join a church. I believe you want to be baptized. Amen. But listen, you'll always go back to that, what I said, what I go. I've been born again by the Spirit of the living God. Brother, my sins are gone. You've got a good profession. But there's those false teachers that they say, sign a card. Do you believe this? And brother, accept this and shake my hand. Know all these things here. And brother, you're saved. And brother, that's false deceivers. But you know what the bad part is? When we got false prophets, and brother, we've got false deceivers. Brother, we're going through the land and we got those false professors. I want you to know you've always got the deceivers. Amen. And then on top of that, the bad part and the worst part is this. Brother, we've got the deceived. Our land is filled with people who are deceived. Oh, those are the ones that my heart goes out. Did you know in our area, especially right here where we live and everywhere I've been, it's been that way. Brother, there's people just do not know. There's multitudes in the valley of decision here in our own county this morning that do not know how to get saved. They don't even know what it is to have eternal life. Brother, let me tell you, they're in the valley of decision. They would get in, but we don't know how to reach them. We haven't tried to reach them lately. And brother, they're dying without God and going to hell. They don't know what it is because there's been too many false professions, been too many false professors. And there's been too many deceivers going up and down the land telling them that which they want to do. Amen. To get right with God won't tell them that they've got to be born again. Well, that's a message that's not being preached much anymore. That you must be born again. And we're overlooking those things. Beloved, we've come to that part in our life. Amen. Now let me give you this morning in the Word of God. We're talking about Peter for just a minute, and we'll talk about somebody else, and I won't hold you long. Amen. And we'll pray that God will give us something here as we're studying this. I want you to turn your Bible just a few pages over from the 4th chapter of Matthew to the 7th chapter of Matthew. I want us to look at this, and then I'm going to talk about Peter here and his callings. We want to look at his callings and look at these things and how that he did what he did. And brother, how we need to do what we need to do. There's a lot of people that are working in the work of God today that have never been born again, have never been saved. Amen. And that's the reason we're not doing anything for the Lord God like we ought to be doing. Amen. Now look with me in Matthew chapter number 7. In Matthew chapter number 7, I want us to read verse 21. This is familiar scripture. Amen. I found out most folks are stumbling over the simple things and the things we've heard all our life. Amen. And older I get, I understand that. Years ago, I wouldn't touch these things because I said they've heard this over and over and over. But I found out I didn't preach till I'm blue in the face. I didn't preach till the sweat runs down and stings my eyes and where I can't even see you. And I feel like I preached my heart out, and then 2 weeks later you've asked me a question that I just preached 2 weeks ago, and you're sitting under me, and you didn't hear it then. So I found out I just need to keep on going back over it and over it. Amen. And then I understand that a little bit more since I got older. You can tell me something this morning, and I won't even know it tonight. Matter of fact, you can tell me something this morning, and I can't remember it 15 minutes. There was something come up, and somebody said something about a website, and I said, boy, that's a simple website. When I get home, I'm going to look that up. And I said it about 15 times, driving up the road. I know what it is. That's so simple. I got home, and I said, what was it? I couldn't even get the first letter, and I don't even know what they said, and that wasn't 15 or 20 minutes ago. So now I know if I'm preaching to you, you're not going to hear me. And if I preach the same sermon I preached last Sunday, most of you wouldn't even know what I said last Sunday. You've done forgotten it. Amen. So don't knock me in anymore for repeating myself. Amen. Matter of fact, sometimes I read it and I look down and I said, oh, look at all them notes in the margin of my Bible. I must have preached this sometime another. Amen, Brother Burl, I know good and well you know the same thing. I've looked at some of my little notes I've had at the house, and I pulled them down and I looked and I said, boy, that'd make a good sermon. And I looked up and seen a date that I'd preached it somewhere, and I said, oh, I've done preached that. And I read it and I said, I forgot all that. I learned it again. You've done that, ain't you, brother? Amen. Now in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everybody says glory to God. Not everybody says amen. Not everybody says Lord. Not everybody says praise God. Not everybody sings in the choir. Amen is going to heaven. You get that? Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, preached? Amen. We've testified. We've told some good things. Hey, we've sung. We've glorified God. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, look at what he said in verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, preacher, this has got to be somebody that's saved and then lost their salvation. Amen. No. That ain't what it's reading here. Well, preacher, it said up there that something's going to say that they've cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works. Hey, you've got to be saved to cast out devils. Huh? Well, now, let me tell you something. You better go back and study your Bible. You know how come people can cast out devils and not be born again? It tells you in this verse why. He said here, and in thy name have cast out devils. Amen. Well, it's not the evangelist. It's not the preacher. It's not the saint. Amen. It casts out demons. It's the Lord Jesus, and they're doing it in the name of the Lord. I remind you of chapter 2, I believe it's chapter, maybe it's chapter 3 of the book of Acts, chapter 3. And the Bible said, here this man said at the gate called Beautiful, asking for alms. And Peter and John came by. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It wasn't Peter that raised him. It was Jesus, and Jesus raised him because of his sake. And it was in the name of Jesus that he was risen from that position he is in. Are you with me? All right. You said, well, preacher, I went to the church. I told you the Bible, I taught Sunday school, I preached, I sung, I shouted, I run the aisles, I swung to the chandelier. Everybody knows me as a righteous person. Everybody knows me as a shouter. Everybody knows me as being on fire for God. Amen. And the Lord can look at you and say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What's the next words? Never knew you. Do you believe that God could look you in the face if He had known you as His child one day and then looking you in the face and said, I never knew you? Wouldn't that be lying? He wouldn't be God. He cannot lie. Whether you belong to Him, you belong to Him. and you don't lose it. Amen. These folks that's lost it, they didn't have it to start with. Amen. Well, you said you believe that from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. You know how come I believe it? Not because my mama taught me. Not because my daddy taught me. Not because I heard preachers preach it. But because the Lord Jesus Himself said it. Amen. I believe it because the Lord said it. Now, let's get the three calls of Peter here. This is the second call, by the way, that he's had. The first call, in a sense, is found in John chapter 1. We won't turn there, but in John chapter 1, Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter and brings him to Christ. And he said, this is the Messiah. And so, this is when Peter gets saved. The first call that everybody in this building must answer is the call of salvation. And that call of salvation must be straightway. That's what you need to do. God speak to you one time, you can put it off and die and go to hell before God ever speaks again. If God speaks to you today, you better listen straightway. Go ahead and do it. So we find when Peter got saved, God put a mantle on him. Everybody in this building's got a little mantle. You know what a mantle is? Now most of you think that's what goes across the top of your fireplace. But that's not the mantle. Over there, remember Elijah had the mantle? It's something they put on. They had that mantle. No, Elijah would take that mantle and swipe it across that water, and that water would part. And he put on that mantle, wore that mantle. Brother, when you got saved, when I got saved, when Peter got saved, you put on that mantle of righteousness. God put on a mantle of righteousness on you. See, when God saves you, He saves you to live right. He saves you actually for the reason He saves you is to glorify Him and to magnify Him, and you can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it as a lost man or woman. God wants you to give Him glory and honor and praise. He births you in His family not to make Him look good, not to make the world look good, but to make you look better than what you are. You're robed in righteousness, your own righteousness. If the Bible said is filthiness. Amen. We on the filthy garments of unrighteousness. Amen. But the Lord takes that old filthy garments of unrighteousness off of us and puts on that robe of righteousness, that mantle of righteousness. And God wants us to live right. That's what righteousness means. Living right. And when you say living right, that's not according to mama's standard. It's not according to daddy's standard. But it's according to the biblical standard. I don't have to. I'm going to have to rush. Amen. Because I see time catching me. Amen. That's right. Now listen. He had that mantle of righteousness put on him. And he started walking for the Lord. Now the second thing that God done is He called him into the work. And He called him as a disciple in this particular place. But He called him as a soul winner. The same thing He does. Listen, I don't believe when you first get saved that you can do too much in soul winning. You can't give in your testimony. But I'll tell you, all you do, you know, you're testifying when you call up Grandma and said, Grandma, I just got saved tonight at church. I'll go down on a job where you're working, you older folks, and you say, I just got saved last night. That's testifying, and that can help somebody. Thank God for that. But it's trying to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard for you to do. You're going to need some training. God don't just throw you in head over heels. I used to think He did, amen. But that's because I didn't want to go. But listen to me, and we get on in, God won't put you anywhere that He can't help you to get there. God will never place you where He can't help you. Amen. He'll never put you out there and leave you alone. He'll go with you because He's in you. Brother, God will help you all the way. Now listen to me. Here at this time, brother, when He's called him to be a disciple. There's 12 disciples. One of them was a devil, of course. And here are these 12 disciples. Here He's one of them. And He's putting him in the harness. He's still got on that mantle of righteousness, but God puts on another mantle. Now it's the mantle of service. Every Christian this morning has been saved, or every person been born again this morning. God wants you to have that mantle of righteousness to live right, but He also wants you to wear that mantle of service. There's some time in your life, in Christian life, that you need to get busy about the Father's business. I hear these people say, well, I know what God called me to be. He called me to be a bench warmer. Amen. And I still can't get away from that word. I said that one Sunday here, and so we had visitors, and they thought I was saying a beach warmer. so I better say a pew warmer. Amen. God wants you to be more than a pew. Well, listen, preacher, God wants me just to sit on this pew. I believe God wants you to do more and sit on a pew. Amen. So he put on that mantle of service. And he got to doing those service. See, that's what God wants out of us, is to have that mantle of service. And then the third call that Peter had was a little later on when God put him into the apostleship. So here's how God works. He puts you in to live right, then to get into service to be a witness, and then after you grow into that a while, God puts you into place of leadership. That's why he said over there, qualification of preacher is not a novice. A novice is somebody that he don't have his feet wet. He's not anchored. Amen. It's amazing to me. And I don't understand. I mean, here somebody can, he's never been saved, and all of a sudden he gets saved. Next day he's a preaching. And that's good. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Paul went preaching right off the bat. Amen. I wish God had called me to preach when I was in the bassinet. Amen. I wasted too many of my years. I do know God spoke to me with a teenage boy in high school. I didn't answer the call. I'd done got married. I wish I'd answered a call back yonder when I was a young man, real young, and started preaching and chewing on the devil. Amen? I do. Wish I had. But I didn't. And I'll say this, God puts us in that work, but He wants us to get anchored. It takes a little while. You see, the next thing you know, Peter, you're not right now qualified to stand over there and lead my people. Right now I want you to walk with me and be a disciple and be taught of me. And brother, we got to get in a church where we can be taught the Word of God. Then we're taught the Word of God and then God sends us forth to go out. And brother, we become leaders. We need to get back to that this morning. Now everybody's trying to take over and get in big leadership positions without ever learning how to get to leadership. We got pastors pastoring churches that actually still need to be sitting under preachers listening to the gospel. Now, you may not agree with me, but I don't care. I've seen it up and down our country. That's where our church... Listen, you look at these churches, they're going this way and that way, and they're wobbling on the axle, and they're not standing for the truth. And look at it, most of the time they've got a preacher in a pulpit. He's not anchored. He's not settled. He don't know a whole lot about the Word of God. There's nothing wrong in being ignorant about the Bible. Hey, as long as you spent time trying to seek the face of God, but wait till you get what God gives you to get. Amen. Now, don't do the same thing you'll overboard like I did. I said, Lord, when you teach me that Bible, I'll preach. And I said, all right, I'll take off. And I went through Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, on up through 28 chapters, got through. I figured when I read through it one time, God's going to just kind of pop my head between my ears all the time, and I was going to get every verse. When I got to the end of 28th chapter, I was going to be able to get up and preach for years on the book of Matthew. When I got the book of Matthew, got through with it, I didn't know much more about it than what I did when I started. And God said, I don't make no agreements and no bargains with anybody. God said, I just want you to surrender. I'll take care of you. And I had to jump in. Brother, I'll tell you what, if I'd have waited to download the Bible, I still wouldn't be preaching. So I know what God can do. So let's not go to two extremes. Let's get to the place realizing this. Brother, you'll get to the place that God can use you to be adequate and help you along the way. Now, I want to look at this and I'm going to close. I want to get Matthew chapter 11. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. Somebody said, what's it mean when the preacher says about to close? 30 more minutes usually. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Here is something said about John the Baptist, and brother, that's in the message by itself, but I do want to point out a few things about John the Baptist here that we need to look at. And this right along, straightway, I'm talking about we need to be straightway in salvation, straightway in our service, and straightway in our leadership. When God puts us where He wants us to go, let's not hesitate. Let's do right then. Don't argue with God. Now, in Matthew 11, He said this one phrase in the middle of that, there hath not risen, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a, notice this phrase, greater than John the Baptist. Nobody greater than John the Baptist. Now, he's not talking about Jesus. Amen. On this earth, there's never been anybody greater than John the Baptist according to the Word of God. Not according to what I think, but what God said. Why was he great? Why was he great? Because in chapter 3 and verse 1, amen, chapter 3 and verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. I believe he is straightway. When God kept him out there in the wilderness for a long time and gave him some education, he didn't graduate from the universities. He got some of the highest education in the world. I'll give you one of those areas of education in just a minute. But he was in the backside of the desert, and out there, God gave him what he needed to do, and John came forth preaching. Now, let's think about it. Why was John great? I'll tell you one reason. I'll give you several, but I'm going to give you one. This morning, we're going to go home. One reason that John the Baptist was so great is because of a little four-letter word called H-O-M-E. He had a good home. Now, let's just look at that a minute. I'm not too much on acrostics. I'm not too much on trying to put words, but I've tried to get out a little word, home. What will it stand for? Here's what God gave me. Write this down. Home, in acrostic. You know what an acrostic is, don't you? You take the H-O-M-E, and we'll let the H stand for something, the O stand for something, the M stand for something, and the E stand for something. Here they are. Home. What is the home? Amen. Heaven or hell on the earth? It can be either one. It can be a little heaven or it can be a little hell on the earth. Home. Now, brothers and sisters, this morning we are living in that kind of time. Brother, homes. Our homes are wrecked. The devil is on the warpath. He's tearing up our homes. He hates the home. Now, don't die on me. If you do, I'll preach another hour and a half. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Home, little heaven or a little hell? Oh, that stands for once a paradise, but lost by sin. Home was once a paradise. God made the first home. He put Adam and Eve together in a perfect environment. And that home got messed up by sin. So it once was a paradise, but it's not anymore. M stands for memories. Everybody in this building's got memories. Some have got good memories of your home. Some have got bad memories of your home. Amen. Only thing about it is most folks let the bad memories outride and override the good memories. They get a little something going wrong when they're 40, 50, and 60 years old, and they blame it on the home and how mama taught them and how mama treated them and how daddy mistreated them. And they let that all right. Why don't you just grow up? Amen. Now I realize that sometimes there's some medical problems. I understand that. Amen. But on the out, listen, I had some good memories of my home. I had some bad memories of my home. You know what I've done with the bad memories? I tried to get rid of them. Amen. Every time they pop their head up, I slap them. Amen. And try to kick them back again. If I wanted to major on some bad memories, I could pull out some bad memories and it would turn me in a different direction. But hey, I want to tell you, everybody's had good memories and bad memories. But I tell you what, don't you let your bad memories of your home lie back yonder. Amen. It went on. Maybe it wasn't the best thing in the world. But I'll tell you, don't you let them bad memories bother you. You rise up this morning and recognize that God in heaven is still on high and He's still in control. And you let Him have charge of your life and forget about the past and press on for the future. Amen? Now, something else. That E. What's that E stand for? I says biz. This is what I say. I said that E stands for education, the educational facility to train for eternity. That's what home is. Home is the educational facility to train our children for eternity. Now, I'm going to say something this morning. This may mess you up. It may bother you. But I don't know where we got the thought this morning that the church is supposed to train our children. I'm going to take my kids down to church so that the church can train them how to live right. You know what the church was for? You know why the church is instituted? The church is instituted for us to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, to worship. You go home and train your kids. You're to train your children. Don't you expect the preacher to train them? It's not my job to try. Listen, I'll try to do all I can, the best I can. You know I preach to these kids. Amen. And I preach to them, brother, I'll tell you what, there's some things they need, and they need to hear the Word of God at the house of God. But I want to tell you something. I can't do anything for them that you can't do that kind at home. Now, what made John the Baptist great? He had a good home. He had a good daddy who loved God. Two things. Luke chapter 1. Two things about this. I need about another hour and a half. My voice is going down anyhow, so I couldn't handle it. Ain't you glad? But verse 1, or chapter 1 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Give you time to turn there. I want us to go to verse number 57. You remember for the story, Zacharias couldn't speak. God told him to name his child John. And God put him a little assurance on it. And God gave a little guarantee he's going to get him named John. He said, because you can't speak again and say another word till you name him John. And God shut down his vocal cords. God got us some, He got him some heavenly duct tape. And He bound that tongue of Zacharias up. And he could not speak. God slapped something on top of his vocal cords and he couldn't whisper a word anymore. John was born, verse number 57. The Bible said, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Notice this, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. It came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Now, did you see what I just saw? The cousins and the neighbors came down and said, you know what? You got to name him. And I believe you ought to call him Zacharias Jr. There's not another Zacharias in the family. So we'll just name him Zacharias Jr. And verse number 6, it said, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Do you know what John stands for, what the word John means? The gift of God. Now, there hadn't been a John named. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. That's what the cousins and the neighbors said. Hey, you better pay attention to the Lord over the neighbors. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Verse 64 said his mouth is open. And verse 67 said he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, why did John, his name was great. Why was he great? Because he had a good daddy that obeyed God. And number 2, he had a good mama that loved the Lord. Luke 1:39. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what she spake. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now listen, we can read on and you see what happened. She got filled with the Spirit of God herself. He had a Spirit-filled daddy. He had a Spirit-filled mom. And every home has got a Spirit-filled daddy and a Spirit-filled mom. Brother, I'll guarantee you, there can't be nothing but some greatness coming out of the home. I'll throw this in and I'm going to close and shut up. Promise. The reason Elizabeth was blessed is because she didn't take rule and authority. She wouldn't have got filled with the Holy Ghost if she had overridden her authority that most women do in the home. And the reason is Zacharias was blessed and filled with the Holy Ghost is because he wasn't a mamby-pamby sissified man. He was a man that took his position. He wasn't mean. He just said, his name shall be John. When men take their role and women take their role in the home, it'll make for good mothers, and it'll make for good daddies, and it'll make for good children. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And heads bowed. Come to instruments. Amen. We'll stand, please. Amen. We're going to sing a song.
Yes. 375.
375 in your blue book. Get your book and let's sing. 375. Have thine own way. God spoke to you. Would you come? How about it?